of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis, of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. It's our privilege today to have in the studio with us, at the yellow microphone today, Father Bartholomew Senibulu, who comes to us from Fiji. And just to say hello, can you say bula to the listeners, Father?
Bulovinaka, everybody. It is nice to be in the studio this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to play, as usual, a little bit of music now, and we're going to come back to our interview and also just our dialogue with Father. It's our privilege to have him here. Thank you. Welcome back. We're at In the Narthex with Father Paul, and we're chatting today with Father Bartholomew Senibulu. Bula vinaka, Father.
Hi, bula vinaka, Pater. Thank you.
It's a blessing to have you here. And you've been in our radio studio before, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember? It's a couple of years ago now. We had a very nice interview with you.
That's right.
Which I think is archived in our radio archive here at the Planet FM. But if it isn't, it should be. It was a very nice interview. But today, we want to talk to you kind of course, we want to learn some things about Fiji. That's important. But we also want to have a chance to hear from you some thoughts about church matters, because you've been a priest now for almost 10 years. Is that correct, Father?
Yes.
So when did you, let's start with that, when did you enter the Orthodox Church? What was the year and approximately the date, if you remember?
Actually, we began in 2008, if I remember correctly, 2008.
I think it was 2009, Father.
Yeah, 2008 when I met with the Archbishop.
And oh, I see. 2009 is when you actually got baptized.
Right.
Because I was there for that. That was, I wasn't there for your baptism, but I was there shortly afterwards.
Yes.
And that was in July of 2009. So that was quite a journey. Have you enjoyed your time now as an Orthodox Christian these past 10 years? Has it been a blessing to you? I hope it has.
Yes. To me, I feel like that I enjoyed my journey with the Christian Orthodox Church. And that is what I found that it is towards my salvation, what I've been learning and I had experience, and how do I go about things in the church. That helps me a lot. Thank you.
Wow. Well, you know, we were talking last night too, in our Bible study, and you were mentioning about how deep the symbolisms and the actions of the church, how deep they are. Do you remember when your baptism took place? What it was like for you? Do you have any recollection?
Yes, actually, when I was baptized, I can feel that there's some like good changes that is coming to me, which I did not like encounter from the beginning of my life here on earth.
Yes.
As I was started my journey to the Orthodox Church, that baptism means a lot to me.
It was an important day. And here you were already an adult person. It wasn't that you were a child. But you could feel it. Somehow you could feel the baptism, its power.
Yes, definitely. Yes, you're right.
I think that's one of the disadvantages we have as Orthodox Christians, having most of us are baptized as infants. We can't remember the power of it. But I will tell you this as a priest. Seeing children baptized, you can see, even in little children, the transformation that takes place in them. And it's quite remarkable, actually. Quite an amazing thing to see baptism affect a child positively. I can't say names, of course, but just recently we had a baptism, and the mother said to me, "What did you do to my child? He's changed." And this is the same day as the baptism. I mean, how does a mother perceive that? And of course, I didn't do anything to the baby other than baptize it, but what she was referring to, of course, was some spiritual change that she perceived in her child. And of course that comes from God, not from the priest or some, you know, we aren't shaman and we aren't magicians. We're just servants. But God works through us, even though we're unworthy priests. Yeah. Father, you know, I'd like to know, can you tell me a highlight of your life as a priest in all these years? Maybe more than one. I'd like to hear many stories, but is there something that kind of sticks out in your mind that really, a beautiful story from your life as a priest here in Fiji, serving in Fiji all these years?
Yeah, just before I touch that,
yes,
I would like to share with us my experience here in New Zealand.
Yes.
So just a few months ago, I met with a young lady. She's from Serbia and now residing in Canada.
Yes.
And the first moment that I met her in the monastery, I found something. She was like lost, yeah, into the world. And she's like depressed. And I found something wrong with her. And I later learned that she was baptized when she was a baby in her country, maybe in Canada or in Serbia. And then from that baptism, she never goes to church anymore until she came back to the monastery.
I see.
And then me and Father Miletus was giving her some kind of counseling and advices. And after Pascha, I saw in a little bit of change, and it was like positive changes.
Yeah.
When she comes back and have some counseling and again start receiving the Holy Communion. And that was one of my experiences here in New Zealand.
Yes, so you saw a spiritual rebirth in this person.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing to see. And we do get to see those things as priests. Not often. I guess I could say often. It depends on how you define often, but certainly we do see it. We see a person who, for whatever reason, has kind of fallen away from the church, and then for whatever reason, you know, everybody's different, might feel a need for the church, and comes and one of the first things that many people do as they return to the church after a time away is to make a confession. In other words, to say before God and man, in these ways, I have failed. And although the priests, we don't really need to know the people's sins. It doesn't do us any good to know those things. There's no benefit to our soul to hear those things. But there is a benefit to the other person's soul when they say them. So we encourage, of course, them to say those things so that they can purge themselves of them. They can get rid of them and put them away. And then, and also, another thing that we do when we allow a person to confess, we allow them to create a space. Because when you're carrying around a big burden of sins, even if they're only sins from your own perspective, I mean, sometimes a person says, I did a sin, and then the church would say, no, that's not a sin. But it does happen that someone confesses a sin that really is not a sin. But when you finally let down that burden, there's a space that you've created in yourself to receive God's grace. And I think that's what you saw in that woman. I mean, she exchanged the sin, the space that was holding the sin. She let go of the sin, and she had a space to receive God's Spirit.
Again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? Well, Father, we're going to take a little tiny break here and play some more music because our listeners enjoy it. I think they do anyway.
Thank you.
to the Virgin Mary. Remember, I think it was last week, we reminded you the word Theotokos means the one who bears God. And when we're speaking to her, we call her Theotoke. Theotoke. Theotokos is the formal name. Theotoke when you're speaking to someone, what they call the vocative form of the word. We're in the studio today with Father Bartholomew Senibulu, who grew up in Fiji, had a very interesting life, even served in the military in Fiji, in the UN peacekeeping force, and by God's grace and by God's wisdom was brought to the Orthodox Church and was asked to be the first Greek Orthodox priest in Fiji. And he accepted because when he was asked that question, God knew his heart and knew that he had been thinking about the priesthood for many, many years. But Father, now that you've been a priest for so many years, the question I want to ask you, tell us, if you can, some story from your life as a missionary priest in Fiji, something that maybe would be interesting to our listeners, and not too private or personal. We don't want to divulge anybody's private information, but something that you think would be a good expression of your life as a missionary priest.
Thank you. Thank you for that. This is my experience, daily experience, when I was like being ordained to be a priest. The moment I came back from Greece, as I entered the airport, the international airport, I saw my friends there. And there begins my test. As I approach them, they approach me, they ask me questions, so I answer them. And then when I came home the first day and the next day, then I was going around trying to look for some piece of land. And then, like, it is like very testing for me to see that people look at me with a totally different kind of dress that I'm wearing, with everything that goes with it. And it seems to me that people are curious, the people that know me from birth until I was like at 50 years old. Yes. And now when I came back, I was like totally different.
Wow.
Some majority of them, especially my Indian friends, they greeted me as like I'm a Muslim.
Oh, okay.
They said, Salaam Alaikum.
Yes.
And
let's just inform our readers, so they our listeners. Here we are wearing these long black robes, which cover our arms and cover our legs, almost completely cover our necks even. And someone could say, oh, that must be a Muslim garment. And of course, anyone knows church history knows that the Orthodox Church is much older than Islam by at least 600 years. So to say that we are imitating their garments, it's actually the other way around.
Yeah.
But most people don't know that, but that's okay. So they see that. And of course, nothing wrong with saying shalom or salam, salam aleikum, peace to you. It's a beautiful greeting. But on the other hand, they misunderstood who you are, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And did they also perceive, besides your dress, any other change in you, perhaps the way you carried yourself? Or do you think they could perceive some presence in you that hadn't been there before? Do you think they could see that, or is that a little asking too much?
Yes, definitely. You're right in that sense. To tell us this morning the story about me walking about with this dress, and even my neighbors, two of my neighbors saw me walking up and down our lane, from home to church, church to home. And all of a sudden, after 2-3 months, they said to my daughter, you would like to come and see how you worship in your church. And it is like, it's a miracle. Because I did not talk to them what is orthodoxy is all about.
Yes.
They only see me walking up and down and say, wave to them, say good morning.
Yes.
Good night. And then maybe those small actions speaks more louder than words.
Amazing. I think that's a really beautiful story. I remember one time when I was in New Mexico, I was wearing robes, as you're wearing robes now, and I'm wearing them now. And I was playing with the children at the church there of St. George. And I saw they were skateboarding. So I thought, oh, you know, to be like the children, I'll skateboard. I'll get on the skateboard with them. But I had never been on a skateboard before, so I didn't really know what I was doing. And I thought, well, I'll hold on to this railing so that I don't fall, because I've never been on a skateboard before. Well, it was probably the wrong thing to do, because, of course, with the skateboard, the railing held me, but my feet kept going. So my feet went out from under me, and I landed, and I broke my elbow. and I actually injured it. Anyway, the story is, I was in the hospital in New Mexico, and I'm on a gurney waiting to be seen by a doctor. And a man comes up to me and says, "Sir, Father, yes? Can you please come and pray for my mother?" I said, "But I don't know what to say. I'm like, I'm a patient. I'm not here as a priest." And he said, "Are you sure you want me to?" He says, "Yes, please come." So I left my gurney. I didn't have me in a room. I was actually in the hallway there in the gurney. I left my gurney there, and I walked over to visit his mother, and to say prayers over her. And so the reason I'm telling that story is that robe, it told someone, here is a man who is dedicated to praying for you. And that's what his job is. So don't be embarrassed to ask him to pray, because he's wearing that robe to show you that he's here to pray. And really, it was a very educational moment for me, because of course I have some perception of why I wear the robe, but I think seeing myself through their eyes opened my eyes a little bit about how other people might perceive me, and that people think, well, he's ready to pray. I mean, he's a servant of God. We should call on him. So here you were just walking up and down the street, the lane there, and the two neighbors felt something. They said, "Here's a man who's called by the Lord." Bartholomew, it's so nice to have you back again in our studio, and I wanted to give you a chance. There's this beautiful hymn we're going to be singing this Sunday, the Sunday of the Samaritan Woman. Can you tell us about it? What did you want to say about that?
I just want to read to us this hymn.
Okay.
At the sixth hour, the wellspring of the miracles came to the world to capture the fruit of Eve. For Eve at the same hour departed from paradise to the deceit of the serpent. The Samaritan woman, therefore, drew nigh to draw water, and the Savior, upon seeing her, said to her, "Give me the water to drink." and I shall give, fill thee with living water. And running to the city, that prudent woman at once announced to the multitude, Come, behold Christ our Lord, the Savior of our souls. That woman's name was Saint Fotini. This is my past experience in the church, which I want to share with us this morning. Once back in Fiji, the Archbishop came to my home to visit me. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he was coming out from his car. A young little girl staying opposite me also see him coming out. And he ran down as I was coming from my home to meet him. In front of him, the little girl was touching his robe and his walking rods and looking up at him. At the same time, her grandmother said, come here. And she said, this is a statement which, like, inspires me much. She said to her grandmother, wait, I want to see Jesus. That short statement means a lot to me at that point in time.
Well, we want to thank you, Father Bartholomew, for being with us today, and we want to also thank our radio listeners who are so faithful in listening into this program, and to remind everyone that this is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, whose our shepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron, and which is headquartered in Wellington in Miramar. We thank you for listening, and we look forward to being with you again next week. Oh,